98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest.
Good morning and welcome.
Show the world.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show that's ever existed.
It really, really is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Begins Wednesday to all you Valley sports fans. It's also game night in Phoenix, where our Phoenix Suns, your Phoenix Suns, are appointment viewing now in the Valley, as they should be.
Yeah, but
unless you go to a sports bar.
The bummer part of it is, I got a text message the other tweet the other night that said I wanted to let you know about a sports bar I went to that had the Suns on every screen, no questions asked.
Okay, so now that's the standard for which we should all be aspiring.
Yes. But the bummer today is it's appointment viewing. Starts 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, I forgot. That's right.
You know,
doesn't
affect slackers like us who get off work at 2 o'clock. But for people who work real jobs, might want to come down with a little under the weather feeling at about 3:30 if you want to watch that game.
That's interesting. Yeah. Wow. Those 5 o'clock tip-offs are a little bit, 4 is just a little too early. Don't you agree with that? No?
Yeah, I mean, when you can get done watching a basketball game by about 6:15, I think that's a good thing.
I guess there's something to be said for that.
I'm always thinking about when I can go to sleep, Beck.
It's good on those days when it's like a Suns game at 4 and then the Diamondbacks game at like 6:40.
Yes.
All right, speaking of sleep, I had an epiphany last night because I had another one of those nights where you wake up at 2 and you toss and turn for like 2.5 hours.
I had one of those earlier this week.
This is when time never travels faster than when you're trying to get back to sleep, when you know that your body needs sleep and you can't fall back asleep. It's like the clock is hours go by like that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when time really speeds up.
I don't know what you're talking about, guys. I sleep like a baby every night. Sleep for an hour, wake up and cry. Sleep for an hour, wake up and cry.
Okay. Right, exactly.
You're not going to throw in a poop your pants joke there, Jared? You missed a golden opportunity.
You stole that line from John McCain, by the way.
No, he stole that line, believe me, from him.
That's an old joke.
He stole it from Jared's uncle.
The guy that was driving the wrong way on the road? That guy?
One person, everybody.
That was a good joke. Sorry I missed that. Start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash. Brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Big one tonight for the Phoenix Suns. They continue their 5-game road trip in Philadelphia against the Eastern Conference's top team, the Philadelphia 76ers. Suns 41-16, coming off a big overtime win over Milwaukee on Monday. 76ers 39-18, coming off a loss to Golden State on Monday, during which they were torched by Steph Curry's 49 points. Suns won the first meeting between the two teams back in February. Again, it's a 4 o'clock tip-off Arizona time. Pre-game coverage starting at 3:30 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So many different tangents on this game. Mm-hmm. So many matchups to look at. Devin Booker's historic success in Philadelphia on the road. He's had some big games there. We got the Embiid versus Ayton matchup.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Well, yes, it is going to be fun. And because I do believe, as we've spoke about earlier and we're going to get into today, I believe that Chris Paul is starting to emerge as a serious MVP candidate. And this will be another game. This is a test. This is where players like Chris Paul shine. I'm going to be very interested to see how a lot of these matchups play out tonight. The
yes.
Booker factor in Philly and the Embiid Ayton stuff. You remember when DeAndre Ayton was first drafted, before we had any real opinions of DeAndre Ayton? You remember that little That little back and forth of the pictures they were drawing?
Yeah, there was the comparisons, and apparently Joel Embiid took took offense to those comparisons.
Saying he plays real defense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots changed.
And he drew a picture of him dunking on his head or something?
That's something like that. Yeah.
Embiid, tonight it's personal. Something's gotta give.
Elsewhere in the NBA, we're back to scoreboard watching here in Phoenix, which is great, by the way. Clippers nudged the Trailblazers 113-112 last night in Portland. The Blazers led by five after a C.J. McCollum three-pointer with just over a minute to go, but Paul George took over. He scored 6 points over the last 55 seconds, including two free throws with under 5 seconds to play. McCollum missed the potential game-tying jumper at the buzzer. Clippers get the win to push their record to 41-19, just a game and a half behind the Suns heading into Wednesday's action. Clippers also learned they'll be without star Kawhi Leonard at least the next week with a sore foot, which could affect his status for a game here in the Valley next Wednesday night.
Yeah, you got to love these NBA players, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's also
my foot. It's sore.
I mean, seriously, it's like Anthony Davis is returning this week. He's missed, what, 66 days, right?
Hey, that's a strained calf, man.
James Harden in on-court rehab tweaked his hamstring again. He's going to be out for who knows how long. There are no guarantees he's even getting back.
Yeah, that's where I was going next.
Yeah,
Harden might
be
out to the playoffs, suffering a setback from that hamstring injury that puts him back at square one, according to the team. Nets are currently a half game behind Philly in the East, and Harden has missed the last 7 games and 9 of the last 10. The game he played was a 4-minute stint before he left that game. Mother Nature not cooperative in the D-back series opener in Cincinnati last night. Rain turned to snow. Game suspended with one out in the top of the 8th inning. Diamondbacks leading 5-4. Andrew Young led off the 8th with a solo home run to tie the game. Carson Kelly later drew a bases-loaded walk to give Arizona a one-run lead. They will resume that one this afternoon at 2:10 Arizona time. D-backs up and the bases loaded after the conclusion of that game. The regularly scheduled Wednesday game will take place with Merrill Kelly against Tyler Mahle for the Reds. All the action on ESPN 6:20 a.m. beginning with the pregame coverage at 1:30. It was weird to see that.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's April 21st,
yes.
And it's a snowstorm in Ohio.
And I was listening, I was in the car, and I was listening to, I was flipping around the channels, and I landed on the Cincinnati broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, they couldn't get over the weather. And that's people from Cincinnati that were thinking how weird it was.
Right. The Diamondbacks have a rare opportunity to notch 2 victories today, though. Gotta like that.
That is true.
Yeah.
And, hey, they got a one-run lead, bases loaded, one out in the first game. Coyotes back at it tonight, hosting the Minnesota Wild. Thankfully, for the final time this regular season, the Wild have won 6 of the 7 previous matchups, including a 5-2 win in Glendale on Monday. They've also outscored the Coyotes 28-11 in those games. Tonight's game gets underway at 6. You can catch it on Bally Sports Arizona Extra. Coyotes legend Shane Doan has a new title. Did you see this?
I did.
Assistant GM for Team Canada.
Yeah.
As they get ready for the 2021 IIHF World Championship, which gets underway May 21st in Riga, Latvia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice honor. Nice feather in his cap.
Former Pro Bowl safety TJ Ward, who hasn't played in an NFL game since 2017. But you may remember he drew interest from the Cardinals last season. He officially announced his retirement today. And the proposed European Super League continues to fall apart as Atletico Madrid, Inter Milan have followed Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur, and Manchester United in announcing their withdrawal from the proposed breakaway tournament.
Yeah.
We're not going to elaborate on this today, but man, what a clunky rollout.
Well, in a weird way, Vinny, yeah, clunky, of course. In a weird way, I love the fact that fan outrage forced this thing to collapse in the matter of hours. That, to me, that's the way it should be, because, I've said this forever, sports leagues, sports teams, they function on the public trust. Like, a guy like Ken Kendrick or Robert Sarver or Alex Maruelo, they may think that they own the teams that they own, and they do, but they belong to us. And they wouldn't function without being received well in the community. So when when the community reacts, so should these sports leagues. And it's good to see that happen.
But
you're right. It's insane.
But the level of greed to just say, hey, by the way, we're not going to run this by you. We're doing this.
I know.
Deal with it. Uh-huh. And then they dealt with it, and then they have egg all over their face.
Yeah.
That was, people attacked it for the amount of greed that the owners had. Right. And when you think of it that way, it was truly appalling.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very, very
true.
There
you go. There's your splash for Wednesday, April 21st. Coming up, will there be shenanigans in Philly tonight? Sixers and Suns, great game on the docket. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
I think it's big for us. You know, I think it's the right way to start off this trip. I think it's great energy moving into, you know, our next games. We knew going into this trip there's not going to be an easy game. So anyone that we can grind out like that, you know, however we get it, you know, that's how we want to do it. So, you know, that's our plan moving forward. But, you know, winning, like Coach Mont said, winning makes the food taste better. Winning makes tomorrow better at practice. So I think we have good energy moving into our next one.
All right, pandemic sports media pet peeve right here, okay? Mm-hmm. Set up a microphone. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, if you're actually going to, produce sound, make it sound good.
When the people are asking the questions, have better setups and can be heard more clearly, that might be an issue. But that was Devin Booker allegedly talking about how much of a confidence builder the win over Milwaukee was Monday.
It's a good point. Wasn't quite certain what was being said or who was saying it.
I remember the day when I started in this business, a lot of, you know, it was pre-internet, basically. It was in its infancy, so it wasn't really used as a tool for media. They used to have to send sound bites, like, over phone lines. So it was bad phone quality. Mm-hmm. It was better than that.
Yeah. The one thing that I do miss about the live press conferences are the guys like Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich when they'd come in just loaded for bear and the theatrics that would ensue. You don't get a lot of that on Zoom unless you're involving Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get it.
Or Coach K.
Or
I want to know what you saw. What do you see, to make you think that he's progressed that way? I know what I've seen. I'll watch him in practice, but I want to know what you've seen. Would you smile,
what
please?
What a jerk face bully. Will you
smile,
enjoy yourself?
Sit back, take your shoes off, and have a little Debbie oatmeal pie, curmudgeon.
Right.
The worst part is when you could see the reporters embarrassed, and they tried to start to apologize, and then the coach still goes, no, I want to know what you think.
Hell yeah, make it even worse, yeah, right. Isn't that like the worst form of bullying?
I wanted the reporter to say, well, you just confirmed that he's progressed, so just talk about it.
Right. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you on that.
Sorry. Left-hand turn. There's a lot of those on Shenanigans Wednesdays. Suns, we talked about it yesterday in great detail. They did basically what they had to do to cancel out, wash away an ugly loss on Saturday night against the San Antonio Spurs. The ugliest loss of the year.
Yes.
It was a disconnected performance. It was a lifeless performance against a shorthanded team. I think it did a lot, not universally. It did a lot to put doubt in the minds of people about the Suns being a legitimate championship contender. One game can do that, but then you bounce back in the next game, beat one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, coming from behind late and doing it in overtime. There's probably more people back on that Suns bandwagon.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be one of these people today, Bick, that even suggests we use the phrase possible NBA Finals preview tonight. Of course it is. I mean, the possibility is there, but that's so far down the road. I don't want to focus on that.
I completely agree, and I understand the excitement of maybe younger Suns fans who have never experienced this before. And don't want anything critical at all being said. I told you there was a small pocket of young Suns fans who really were angry that I said the Suns are not great right now. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, man, isn't that something? I mean, great was once great. Great means something pretty big. Would you call this team great right now?
No, and the timing of when you said, I mean, would a great team
throw out a performance like
that? And that's all I was saying. If you're great, you're past those kind of performances. That game against the Spurs was so embarrassing from the standpoint that the Spurs were fined $25,000 for sitting key players, and they still routed the Suns.
By 26 points?
By 26 points. There was a 31-point lead at one point in time. And so however it happened, you have to think it happened based on something that went wrong with the Suns' approach. That would seem to be, because if you believe the Suns are a great team, then it's their fault that they weren't ready to beat a subhanded Spurs team, short-handed Spurs team. And then by that very definition would disqualify them from being great.
And also,
they're capable of greatness, but they're not great right now.
And so they followed it up with a great performance versus Milwaukee. But in the grand scheme of things, the loss versus San Antonio counts the exact same as the win versus Milwaukee. If they would have flipped those two games, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just pick and choose which games you give it your all for, it seems like.
Well, and again, it's a matter of semantics, but it's also a matter of perspective and standards. And we know from firsthand experience how this entire valley needs to lift its expectations and its standards. And hopefully this basketball team will do that.
Well,
and it's not really the fault of the fans. We are conditioned because of not having a lot to, you know, think 500 teams are on the path to the playoffs. We're getting there, baby. No, you're mediocre.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of it, and I'm not saying I actually believe this, but let me just bring it up as a possibility. Is it fair for the fan base or, you know, consumers of any sports team, as good as they may be, to expect a great focused effort 72 times? We talked about it earlier in the year. There's been frequent just one of those nights. And I think for great teams, that number is about two or three over the course of a full NBA season.
All right.
You just have nights where you try to flip the switch and nothing happens, and you just get it handed to you. But the Suns have had like six or seven such nights.
That's the problem.
They've also had...
If San Antonio was the first time it had happened all year long, that game would have not hit me the way that it did.
Yeah.
Now, they came back against the Bucks, which kind of proves that they sharpen their focus dramatically when they get up against really good competition. So you wonder, okay, is what we're talking about reason for the Suns to rethink their load management strategy? And again, I hate it. I abhor load management in the NBA. But if you're looking at a team that occasionally has these bouts, these one of those nights, can you prevent those by giving guys occasional nights off? I don't know. I'm just talking.
Now, that being said, going into a game tonight on the road against a very good team led by a real legit MVP candidate in Joel Embiid, I expect a good focused effort from the Suns.
Oh, yeah.
That's been their MO this year. In the games that are termed, this is a big game, they're not 100% winning percentage in those games, but 100% of the time, pretty much, they're showing up and they're playing hard and they're giving it their best.
But then the game that scares me is maybe the Brooklyn game coming up over the weekend where they might not have Durant or might not have Harden.
They didn't have Durant and Irving when the Nets came in here and beat the Suns. So, again, it's about learning lessons. It's about relying on experience. And I don't think that's been one of the stronger points for this team this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But tonight's going to be fascinating because tonight's going to be Joel Embiid has not played this version of DeAndre Ayton yet. And Joel Embiid is a back-you-down kind of guy. And I think tonight there's going to be a big confrontation in the paint. And I'm going to be curious to see if DeAndre can continue to find that balance between being physical and bodying up and boxing out and keep being active on the boards and staying out of serious foul trouble. Tonight's going to be a test of the latter because I think Embiid's going to bring the party to him tonight.
Yeah, in the first meeting back in Phoenix in February, Embiid had 35-8. Ayton did not have one of his better games.
No.
5 of 6 from the floor, but 11 and 6. It was the Devin Booker show in that game. But really looking forward to this matchup tonight.
Both.
4 o'clock is when it gets underway. You can hear all the action beginning at 3:30 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, oh great, that's what we needed. More fuel to the rumor fire about Larry Fitzgerald going to the Bucks. We'll get into it straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Remember this band?
Silverchair?
Yes.
Ah, look at that.
They were like Australian teenagers, I think.
Yeah, this song came out and people were like, oh, this is the next great band. And then, not so fast.
Mustache, quick, not a mustache.
Quick, name another. They were 16. They didn't. They had
right.
Peach Fuzz, not a Peach Fuzz.
No.
I can't name another Silverchair song, can you?
Yeah, no. I also remember reading a story in Rolling Stone about a band called The Kooks. You ever heard of them?
No.
Out of England. They were like, they came out, they were impossibly young. They dropped their debut album, and people were like, these guys could be like the Beatles. Like, oh, my goodness. Everything is like that now. Every young act gets compared to, like, the greatest of all time, just like we do with sports stars. Trey Lance, projected to be the next
Rock Hartman.
Wilson.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. Look, we promised shenanigans. We're delivering. Remember Candlebox, too?
Candlebox, yeah.
Another
yeah.
band that was right about that time.
Yeah.
Had that huge song.
Far Behind.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of one-hit wonders, you usually think of the 80s for some reason, like they had the most, but I think every decade has a ton of them. You just don't think of it.
Yeah, it's true.
Those were the 90s one-hit wonders, I guess.
The 80s one-hit wonders are just funner to make fun of. That's all.
Yeah, right. Right. I agree with that.
It's day 108. Day 108 of Fitzwatch, Bick.
Fitzwatch.
January 3rd. Cardinals wrapped up their season with the loss in L.A., a game that Larry Fitzgerald didn't play in, and it's dragged on till now, at least April 21st.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't have a decision on his future. We've talked about it in recent weeks and recent shows about how the more time passes, the less you care about it, but that changed today.
Uh-huh.
Because linebackers coach Larry Foote, a member of Bruce Arians' coaching staff, in Tampa Bay with the world champion Buccaneers, was on Doug and Wolf this morning. And they asked the question, hey, is Larry Fitzgerald being recruited to play in Tampa Bay? Listen to Larry Foote's answer.
I tell you what, I don't know who broke or leaked it, not leaked it, but whoever speculated that same thing. I remember my kids came home, Larry Fitzgerald signed with us? They the biggest Larry Fitzgerald fans, especially my six-year-old. Larry Fitzgerald signed with us? Who told you that? So it made me run to the internet because I would not be surprised if that happens. And I haven't heard, you know, no chatter around the building. So that'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. But,
no, it wouldn't.
Know, as a
don't
fan,
say that.
As a football fan, as far as the Red Sea, we would not want to see that. You know, we only want to see 11 in out west.
I don't know if that's true. I challenge that whole Doug reaction there, that this would be the worst thing that ever happened to us. I challenge that. I think there's a portion of Cardinal fans who feel that way. I think people feel so fondly for Fitz that whatever he decides to do, people are going to be cool with. But let me say this. But
nothing is universal.
No.
I think what you're describing, and I agree with you, I think that would be the prevailing sentiment by most people here.
Well, part of me wants to see him get a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't struggle with it. It's not like, oh, no. I don't feel about it the way I thought I was going to feel about it at one point in time. But back to the main story, which I think is interesting here. Okay, this kind of makes sense to me a little bit. So the Cardinals are clearly not holding a place for Larry Fitzgerald.
No.
Okay. And so that door really looks closed to me. Yet Larry hasn't announced his retirement. So what I think really is probably the most logical explanation is that Fitz in his mind was 98% certain he was going to retire and he was going to go to X amount of time to make up his mind. And I think at some point in time, he might have had a conversation with Tom Brady. He might have had a conversation with Bruce Arians, any number of people. And it might have floated out there, listen, why don't you just sit on this? Because we'd love to have you. Why don't you run back 1 year with Tom Brady and see if you can get your ring? and it won't feel cheap because we all know you and we all love you. Everybody loves you. Think about it, and we'll leave the light on for you. And that's what's happening. Doesn't that sound like the most logical explanation? And it doesn't mean Fitz is close to coming back or leaving. It just means that Tampa granted him an extended deadline to make up your mind.
Well, I mean, going back to the words of Larry Foote, haven't heard any chatter around the building, but he also said it wouldn't surprise me.
Right. Right.
Well, why wouldn't it surprise
right.
you?
Uh-huh.
I think there's also an element of people, when talking about the local base, that right now say, I just want what's best for Larry. If he wants to go to Tampa Bay, get the ring, and get the ring, I think the idea of that and the reality of that are two different things for some people. They might be on board with it now, but to see him with that trophy in his hands
might be different.
In early February, mm-hmm. And the fact that he'll be in, you know, NFL history books forever as a member of the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
yeah.
That might be a little bit hard to stomach when
okay,
it becomes a reality.
Yeah, I get you. I hear you.
Well, it's part of the reason that fans might be okay with it is because they know Larry is not close to elite anymore. Like, if he was still one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, you would want to hold on to him more
yeah.
so.
And they know that he was not used in traditional ways last year. Now, again, that's a convenient excuse that an alibi that we give Fitz to, to sort of explain his lack of productivity. But I just think that it's too coincidental that the Bucks are parking Antonio Brown over here and telling him, we may get back to you, we may not. And they're leaving this thing open. And for what? I think that's a reality. And I think it's probably a function of Tom Brady and BA.
Well,
why wouldn't you? And the reason why it really makes sense to me, if you're Tampa. Okay, Tampa's coming off this incredible playoff run, mm-hmm. An incredible Super Bowl victory, an incredible celebration. Tom Brady still might be hungover. You bring in Fitz, and you've got a new touchstone. You've got a new mission. You've got a new guy that doesn't have a ring that's going to get everybody rallied and galvanized instead of just kind of, okay, we're back. Wasn't that fun? Oh, we got to play in 3 weeks. We've seen what happens to teams that win the Super Bowl and come back. It's a hard time. It's hard for them to find the gas pedal.
Well,
and I think Fitz would solve that for them. Do you got the stretch?
You believe what you believe. I think there's elements of it. I think if Larry Fitzgerald comes back and signs with another team, not named the Arizona Cardinals, in the sole pursuit of a Super Bowl title, I wouldn't go to Tampa Bay. I honestly wouldn't. The history is not there. The history when you bring everybody back is certainly not there. You feel satisfied as an organization. We got, mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're not going to be good.
No, you're absolutely right.
But the history is there with a Tom Brady.
He was the
last player.
That might be the difference.
Yeah, what, 17 years ago?
And if Brady keeps hammering that message,
Tom Brady is so great, why didn't the Patriots in the last 17 years ever repeat?
Okay, but he's in a different point. For Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, it's not like, okay, if we don't win this year, we have a long road ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
It's not just we want to defend their title, but it's we want to defend their title because this could be the last ride for both of us.
Vinny's right, though, because Tom Brady made it look, by winning the title last year in this first shot outside of New England, he made it look like he is just money. He is a stone-cold lock every year to get to the Super Bowl. Let's not forget, if the Chiefs don't suffer a couple of injuries on the offensive line, that Super Bowl probably doesn't turn out the same way. But I'm not holding that against Tom Brady. I'm just saying that there's a perception that Tom Brady is the kingmaker. That, the year he leaves Foxborough, he goes to that team, a saucepan that's about to catch fire.
Mike Sando.
Right, and they harness it right at the playoffs and just beat the stuffing out of everybody. It's the visuals. The optics of it sort of exceed the accomplishment in a weird way, because it really does make Tom Brady look like he was way more important than Bill Belichick. And that's not true.
Yeah, but see, you talk about optics, but and you said it, they beat the stuffing out of everybody. Their first three playoff games weren't all that convincing.
No.
They almost lost to the Washington football team.
They almost did.
Right. Right,
but Taylor Heineke.
But Brady was terrific and calm. And he did what he always does in the playoffs. Yeah, wow.
At least we got we got a new angle to talk about.
Yeah,
right?
It could.
Thanks, Larry
right.
Foote.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
Larry Foote on Larry Fitz.
Yeah, one Larry F on another. Larry!
All right, coming up next, before I tell you what's coming up next, let me tell you about this. You could text BONUS right now, BONUS, to 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon at 1:35 to win $500. That's BONUS to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Now I'll tell you what's coming up next. Bick ruffled some feathers by saying the Suns were not great, but there are people on the national media scale that believe that that is the case as well. We'll get into it and some reaction next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I really haven't figured out Phoenix yet, and I guess that's why I was asking Shaq and D-Wade what they thought. Because I think you have a guy in Devin Booker that hasn't yet played. I mean, the bubble was probably the first time he played meaningful basketball.
Right.
And this is also the first time that he's had a point guard like Chris Paul. We've all seen the impact that Chris had with the Thunder. So I guess just in terms of hanging your hat on Aiden, is he going to show up in the playoffs? Are they going to be able to, you know? So I really don't know. And so I think that the West is open.
Yeah.
Great. The West is, the West is wide open, and it's going to be exciting to watch when the playoffs start.
Candace Parker, TNT, inside the NBA, hasn't figured out Phoenix yet. Talking about your best players playing in big games. Mm. I'd be lying if I said that that wasn't on my concern list going into the postseason.
All right.
I'd be lying. We had the social studies question yesterday. The Phoenix Suns will win the NBA championship if. And I couldn't come up with an if. Because basically that doubt. The NBA playoffs is a different animal altogether.
Yeah.
Now, I would feel, I would very much feel like, just happy to be there. If the Suns were a team comprised of nothing but newbies to the NBA playoffs, mm-hmm. That's not the case. They've got some guys that have some playoff seasoning. Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, Torrey Craig in 2 years in Denver played a ton of playoff minutes.
Yeah.
So they've got some guys that they can rely on for experience. So it's not a total foregone conclusion. And, you know, there's some guys that step up when the stage gets bigger. Devin Booker has shown that ability in big regular season games or mm-hmm. high-profile regular season games, but there is a level of unknown, and I don't think it's unfair, and I don't take offense to Candace Parker making that claim. I don't take offense to Shaq on that same broadcast on TNT saying this.
I don't have a reason for leaving. It's just that, you know, my favorites are Utah. Donovan's playing at a great level. Paul George, we dogged him out. We talked bad about him. He didn't complain. He come back. He's playing phenomenal. We all love the Lakers. Phoenix still has to prove it to me. Yes, they play well. I love their players. I like Aiden. Chris Paul, one of the best leaders. Devin Booker, one of the best scorers we have in the game. They have to prove it to me. Yes, they are second in that, but if they can get to second in the Western Conference Finals, then I'd be impressed. But, you know, we've all seen teams over the years have great records and then lose in the first or second round. So
can I actually
I'm not
ask,
saying that they're not there yet, but I'm just saying, for me, you have to show me that you can do it in the postseason.
Does that
it sounds harsh, but I think it's fair.
I think it's fair, too.
It's fair. A lot of people reacted to that like, oh, come on, Shaq, why don't you watch a game first and then tell me what you think? And there might be some of that. But I think everything he's saying is basically steeped in fairness, and it's true. Here's what's fascinating to me, though, okay? When you look at the Clippers and you look at the Lakers, these are teams that have very, very good wing defenders that when they go small – They can jump you. They can destroy your screen and roll game, the pick game, the switch game. At that point in time, you need a guy like DeAndre Ayton to dunk on people's heads, and he's beginning to do that. So the way these teams compete against one another might change a little bit in the playoffs for the better for Phoenix. You look at a team like the Lakers, okay? They haven't had Anthony Davis for 66 days, 30-plus games. He's going to come back. They're going to slow roll him in. He's going to play a little bit, and they're going to work up his minutes, and hopefully they'll be ready to go by the time they get to the postseason. But in the interim, they acquired Andre Drummond, who is a lot different of a basketball player than the other bigs that the Lakers have had recently, the Marc Gasols, the JaVale McGees. We don't know how that's going to influence the Lakers. So to me, even though the Lakers have a lot of good talent on that bench and a lot of good bigs and much better team on paper than they had last year, they got to make it work. And that doesn't always happen in the game of basketball. So I think there's questions about a lot of teams. I think the Suns' history and the lack of playoff experience and the fact that they're the Suns are leading people to be skeptical.
Totally. And a 10-year absence from the postseason will do that to you as well.
You earn that.
Now, we might be talking about, in late May, about, wow, this team, they were as advertised. They are not daunted by the playoff stage. But we don't know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm. Unless I know.
The only Western Conference team that really has accomplished anything is the Lakers. And what has this Clippers team done other than vastly underperform last year in the playoffs? The Nuggets and the Jazz are always great regular season teams, and then they get to the playoffs and they get so far, and then
But if you're going to buy into the, hey, you got to take baby steps and you got to, keep improving and pay your dues in the postseason, then yeah, you could make a real strong argument for Denver. Now, not having Jamal Murray, obviously, for the rest of the way, that's tough to overcome, but the 2018, 2019, they won 54 games, lost in the conference semifinals. They took another step last year, got to the conference finals. They're still really good.
I mean, the Lakers went from out of the playoffs to the NBA champions. I know it's a different situation because it's more veterans.
Same rules don't apply to the LA Lakers, and you've made this point a million times on this show, Jarrett. They don't apply. they had LeBron, who shut it down. They didn't have anything else. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were getting Anthony Davis at that point, and they got him, and they won the title. So that's an anomaly. That's not a normal NBA story. Because they don't play by the same rules as everybody else.
No, well, that's true. That's very, very true. But again, here's the other thing, too. They've got a lot of these games down the stretch where they can start to prove these kind of points. And beating the Bucks for a second time, I think, I think that loss to San Antonio did do some perceptual damage to the basketball team. Now, they might reverse that maybe as early as tonight. You beat 76ers again tonight. I think everybody will flush that San Antonio game.
Yeah, and I talked about, looking at this five games, I saw 3-2 as a realistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
You come back better than 3-2 on this trip. And
that'd be phenomenal.
And
I
that
agree.
Completely reverses all the ill will towards that San Antonio loss.
If you see 3-2 as a successful trip, though, are you okay with 3-2? Like, if they win their first two, we talked about this yesterday, are you okay with them kind of the second back-to-back, resting some players, sort of punting that one?
Hard to say those value judgments about numbers without seeing what it looks like, seeing what those games look like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but either way, it's tonight's going to be another big test, and the Brooklyn thing, who are they going to end up playing? Who knows? But I think tonight's a really good test coming out of what they just went through Monday in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing a really good team.
Yep.
And Milwaukee, you could make the argument, or they were stumbling a little bit. Philadelphia's playing really good. They ran into a red-hot Golden State team on Monday, but that's a really good basketball team that, with a new head coach, they look a little bit more legit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Philly, the last few years, has been that regular season team where you look at Embiid and Simmons and whoever they have around them, you're like, yeah, I like them. And then you saw them in the playoffs, and they just didn't have the right kind of fire in the playoffs.
This
team strikes me a little bit different, this Philly team.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with Embiid.
Well, and it's and let's keep in mind, for a while, Joel Embiid was seemingly running away with that MVP discussion.
Mm-hmm.
He was having that kind of year. So that's why tonight's matchup really fascinates me, because you've got the best DeAndre Ayton we've seen going up against a guy that is everything DeAndre Ayton can become, if not better, because DeAndre Ayton is more fluid. He's more athletic, more nimble, if you will. You don't think so?
I think Joel Embiid
moves heavy to me sometimes.
He does, but there's nothing he can't do on the court.
Well, that is true.
He's just a big, I mean, he's a unicorn. Sorry, Kristaps. I know that was your nickname there for a while, but looking forward to tonight's game. 4 o'clock tip from Philly, 3:30 pregame here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, the speculation continues about the NFL draft. Does it start at number 3 with the San Francisco 49ers, and where are they leaning in the process a little bit more than a week out? We'll get into it next. It's Pickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.